Jim Arden, a California litigating attorney who focuses on attorney malpractice and legal ethics, discusses the issues of computer security. Technology is a great tool that allows us to be more effective and more efficient. Along the way, however, we can have our tools corrupted. Jim Arden delineates some of the problems with wireless computers in our current environment. Jim asks questions such as, will your refrigerator be a transmitter of a virus to your computer network? What security protection will you need this year? Is virus protection software and firewalls enough? Listen to Jim Arden for the answers and more.
Jim, thanks for joining us today. I look forward to our conversation about an interesting topic, and that is security of our computers.
Well, thanks very much. I quite enjoy being here, and I hope I can give some helpful information out.
Let's start out by talking about the computers that are now wireless, and of course almost every new computer is. And the question would be, is wireless security getting better or worse? I know that we've got some cities now that are claiming that their whole city is wireless. And of course, with the new computers having the capability, you have this image, or at least I have this image, of somebody just opening up the computer and starting to talk to the computer. And where it goes from there, I don't know. But security is an important issue in this, is it not?
Well, it's always important because of the nature of these communications. You're broadcasting, essentially, just like any other broadcast out into the world, all of the information, essentially, that is going across the network. And for lawyers, it's an important problem because we have to keep our client information and files confidential. I get worried when I hear all of these new, everything's going wireless and, by this, because people are jumping into this without considering the security, and you could have a big problem if you're a lawyer and you hook your computer up to the Internet without proper security. In fact, they have a concept that's called survival time. It's a measurement of how long it takes for an unprotected computer that gets hooked up to the Internet to start becoming infected or attacked by malicious spyware, trojans, and those types of things. And it was a few years ago, it was as little as 20 minutes. I'm sure the time has dropped now. If you hook an unprotected computer up to the Internet via wireless, or any other way, it's going to get attacked if you don't have security protection.
Well, Jim, what kind of security is available that would make one's computer, and I think we're talking about laptops here primarily, but I'm sure it applies to PCs as well. What kind of security is available for us to have our, domain, so to speak, protected from outside invasion?
Well, it's a good question, because I used to think it was a lot more troublesome than it actually is. You've been needing virus protection for years. You've always needed virus protection anyway, and it's the type of thing you need to keep updated to have it be effective. So you still need virus protection. Now they also have things called spyware, and so there are other types of applications similar to virus protection, but they look for the other types of hazards that are not just viruses. They've got all kinds of creatively named things, worms, Trojan horses, all types of things that are out there that are problems. And the spyware will look for things that can get planted in your computer without you knowing it. Besides the virus protection and the spyware, you need a firewall. Now, a firewall is similar to what a firewall used to be in a car, which kind of insulates you in the passenger cabin from any fire that might occur up front in the engine compartment. Firewall for a computer keeps the bad things that are all out there on the Internet from getting into, or in some cases out of, your computer. And firewalls can be, you can buy them as a piece of hardware. They actually can sit there on the, either in the wire or in the wireless connection, in between your wireless connection and your computers. And then you can also have software firewalls, and those come with things like routers, the devices that you use to distribute your Internet connection to different computers. So you can have multiple firewalls, and spyware too. You should have multiple versions from different companies of these spyware detectors. That'll usually do it.
So you've got virus protection, spyware, firewalls, and yet something that's almost as dangerous, certainly as frustrating, is spam email.
Oh, yeah.
So where do we go with that? I mean, is that considered within the domain of the word security?
Oh, yes. And part of the reason is we've become aware now that the same emails that come as seemingly innocuous, in quotes, spam, can also carry these Trojans and worms. You can click on an email, a link in an email message, and be taken to an infected site. And some emails can carry, they can put these hazards now into a picture, into a JPEG. And so you could click on a JPEG and get infected. That's why the virus protection, most of the good software, can also be configured to scan your email as well as the other types of internet connections.
One of the things that the new computers sell, if you will, is speed of operation. It seems to me we've got four filters here, a virus protection, a spyware, a firewall, and a spam filter. That's four different filters, and within these, I'm sure there are different categories. So now, how fast is fast? These protections have to take some time, do they not?
They don't take too much time if we're talking about a broadband connection. You can't really do this very easily anymore if you're still using a dial-up, because that is too slow. But if you have a broadband connection, whether it's cable, DSL, or whatever, you're going to be having things transmission. The transmission to and from your computer is going to be fast enough that it's not going to be slowed down to any real noticeable degree by your virus protection and spyware. I can sometimes see that an email is being scanned, for instance, that might take a few more seconds to get out. But other things are going on in the background, it's not a problem. And, you know, one thing is you can't ever have perfect protection. The best you can have is reasonable protection. And so you use these things in combination to get the best types of protection you can. I've changed my spyware program recently to try a different one because I thought it might pick up different things. And because the different programs do get different things, and that's why they recommend using several.
Well, there's this big, or at least there was, this big argument about using Macs and PCs, and I know I've heard Mac users say that they're not vulnerable at all to these things. Is that true? Are Macs less vulnerable than PCs?
Well, they're technically, right now, yes, less vulnerable to most of the types of problems that are out there, because most of them are designed to infect PCs because there are so many more PCs out there. But there are certainly are viruses and attacks that are being designed for Macs. In fact, they're being designed for a lot of other things, too, that are fascinating. But yeah, there are some things being designed for Macs. The problem, though, the Macs are being attached to the same networks as the PCs, so if a problem occurs on the network, the Mac will suffer the same as any other computer hooked up.
So if you have a network of only Macs, then you won't have the same problem, though, correct?
You will have a lot less chance of being infected, yeah. In fact, there's a firewall that comes with a Mac that is pretty good for most things, as opposed to, let's say, the Windows firewall, which is really not a very good firewall at all, because it only protects communications one way. But, yeah, Macs are generally safer only because there are less problems, that are less attacks being tried on those. But they are very creative in what things are being attacked now. A new security area are network printers. There have been viruses that have been in networks. They kill the virus or the Trojan or whatever the problem they're having, the worm appears, and it keeps coming back. And they're finding that network printers are one source now that are being infected, because the network printers have some of the same communications and interface software as any other Windows computer.
So in other words, the Macs are less vulnerable, but perhaps they're less vulnerable because there are fewer of them, and these guys are really not concerned about attacking them. They're going after where the market is, so to speak, and that's with the PCs.
That's it. That's right. There's just less people working on Mac attacks, if you will, than PC attacks.
Right. So it's not that they're better machines. It's just these people are disregarding them.
Yeah, they're not as attractive to, but make no mistake, there certainly are a lot of people that are writing these things to attack Macs too, and it's a problem when you have something like a denial of service attack that can clog up a whole network. Then whatever computer you're on, Mac or PC, isn't going to be able to get through, not because of your own individual infection, but because the network's been hit.
Well, let me ask you this question, that now that we're talking about the security and Macs, PCs, and the like, should security issues impact or affect your purchasing choices? And if so, how?
Well, this also gets back to your question that I didn't really answer before completely about the speed and slowing down the network. The only people, I think, that really have to have the fastest computers are the gamers. The people that are playing those games need every bit of speed they can. But for most lawyers, and I realize that a lot of them are gamers too, but when they're acting as lawyers, we're doing research, we're writing, and sending documents out. The speed isn't a problem. Now, some people swear by Macs, some lawyers that are, swear by Macs, and others, like me, I have a personal bias toward PCs. And one of the reasons is I like using WordPerfect versus Word. Word being a Microsoft program that is designed to communicate over the Internet and has a lot more problems with metadata, for instance. So, yeah, I think that because being used by lawyers, certainly a lot more applications to be used by PCs, it's easier to buy a PC. I don't think, though, that the security alone make you buy a Mac just because right now they're under less attack, or under attack less, rather.
Well, what kinds of new exploits, I guess we might call it, are in the offing? What are the criminal minds, and that's the best nomenclature I can give to it, seeking to do in the future?
Well, your nomenclature is correct, because criminals are always the first exploiters of advanced technology, computers, and everything else through history. I mentioned that the network printers are being attacked by these viruses and worms now, which is fascinating. The same way you can see attacks on any type of microprocessor that it ever gets hooked up to a network, and people are buying refrigerators now that hook up to the Internet. So you could certainly get a refrigerator worm, so to speak. There are a device was just developed by someone, a $10 device that you can insert in any electronic door entry system, you know, the things where you walk up to a door, you slide a card key through and the door opens.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually put this little device underneath the thing, and you can get into any office door with this $10 device. They just had a first case of identity theft through a file-sharing program, the programs that we're used to hearing people stealing, if you will, or sharing their music, that type of thing. A lot of people hook up to those file-sharing networks, and they don't have security. So some industrious criminal was recently looking for people and finding tax returns, all kinds of credit card and financial information, and made lots of money before they caught them. The information that's being taken is also being used, of course, for identity theft. And they take the information, they start selling the identities to other criminals. It's now as little as $14 is all it costs if you want to pick up a new identity, complete with a working U.S. bank account, a credit card with a security code, and even a government-issued Social Security number. So the best thing to do, if you're, as far as wireless security, is maintain the firewalls, the virus protection, the spyware that you can. There was something going on called war driving that I had written an article about recently, where people driving around looking for these unsecured wireless networks. They used to have war chalking, where they'd mark the buildings up with chalk for other war drivers to see where these open unsecured networks were. But because of the proliferation of all these wireless networks now and all of the laptops being sold that are wireless and everything else, the war chalking is obsolete. You don't need to be told where these open networks are. There are just so many of them. And if you sit down at Starbucks and or you're a hacker and open up your computer at Starbucks, either one, a casual user or a hacker, you won't be able to differentiate between the networks that are there intended to be shared with you and those that are there simply because no one ever secured them. And even some security firms, computer security firms, don't have their own wireless network secured.
Well, I kind of laughed at the event some few months ago when BlackBerry, which is supposed to be the, you know, do-all, be-all to all people for communication, it will never fail, so forth and so on, and their system went down for 24 to 48 hours. And many people were just beside themselves, and it turns out, apparently, at least that's the rumor I heard, that BlackBerry had only one server. They didn't have the basic protection. And so even the best of folks in today's world are susceptible to one disaster, one invasion or another. What's needed for reasonable, and I guess that word should be in quotes, protection in today's world?
Well, that's what I was going over before. You really need to make sure you've got your virus protection and your spyware programs, one or more. Some people run several. And you need to update them because it's the same as it always was. The viruses and the worms and the Trojan horse programs are being written. There are new ones every day. And some of these companies, you can get updates to the software every single day.
Well, Jim, do we need to have more than one different application? In other words, if we have a virus protection application by company one, do we need to have company two's virus protection as well because maybe they protect against something that company one did not?
No, thank you, because I wasn't very clear. I don't think you really need more than one virus protection program, but you should have more than one spyware program. That's more than one program that's not looking just for the viruses that are coming in real time, if you will. But these are other programs that will scour your computer and your hard drive as much detail as you want and take as much time as necessary to look for things that get planted in there that a virus protection program won't find because it's not designed to search your computer like that. And it's because of these programs do find different things. Most experts that I've read it from recommend you have a couple of different of these spyware checkers.
Okay, and what's the difference between that and a firewall? Is a firewall something that merely protects your computer and bounces things off, and the spyware and the virus protection are things that will work against those things that somehow penetrate the firewall?
Again, a good question. Yeah, the firewall is something that stands like a line of guards around you or around your computer. So you have a firewall that actually stands in the middle of it's like the toll booth. It's a two-way toll booth, though. You can't get out to the Internet, and you can't get in from the Internet without going through the firewall. The firewall then can be set to simply let everything through, which renders it pretty useless, or you adjust it to let you know when a communication is being attempted. It may be more important to protect things that are trying to get into your computer, but some of these can also check the things attempting to get out, because if something has gotten in, that's where the problem gets created. Then it starts sending out problems from your computer. So the firewall stands in the middle and can prevent things from going in and out that you don't want it to be, communications, that is, that you don't want to be made to or from your computer.
Well, let's put this whole discussion then into a sort of a different frame, if you will, a different context, and ask the question, why is it should our listeners, who are lawyers, care about all this? I know that it's a pain in the behind to have these things invade and sort of, if you will, take over your computer. But there's another issue here that is particularly sensitive for lawyers, is there not?
Well, sure, because we all have ethical rules that bind us to keep our client files and information confidential. We've had rules that have evolved over time with technology to take into account, for instance, that confidentiality, is not lost if you are communicating electronically or if you're not encrypting your information. But wireless communications in particular can present particular hazards to lawyers, because even if you're not violating an ethical rule, you could sure be embarrassed if the information got out. You could still have a case lost because of information being compromised. And the other aspect of this is, for instance, the rules of federal discovery are evolving now to often require production from computers. There are cases that are discussing whether or not metadata should be produced along with everything else in the electronic world. And all of those areas could present more embarrassment if you know, if you don't know what's going on in your computer and you have to be producing this to others, like I mentioned, it's, even if it's not an ethical violation, you don't need to that type of embarrassment. It reflects on competence, or it can, and, you know, you can lose money if you're losing clients or not getting clients that you, because you're, you know, you, something's come out that you were exposed in a way that was just less than reasonable or less than could have been, a lesser level than could have been achieved. Some of these things are not very difficult anymore. You know, it used to be if you wanted a firewall set up properly, for instance, you really had to have an expert do it. It might be best if you did still have an expert do it, but now, because the firewalls are so prevalent and the problem is so well known, the software and the controls are becoming easier, and you can do a fair job in most cases with most of the software out there.
But well, Jim, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and sharing how it is that our listeners can protect themselves against what really has become, in my frame of reference and in my perspective, a really vicious criminal approach to taking property of others and destroying it. And, of course, in our case, the additional ethical issues of protecting client confidentiality, client security, and the like, just layered over on top of that. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and how we can address that issue more effectively.
Well, thank you for having me. I really am excited and amazed when I find out what's going on out there. I'm glad I could share this, and I hope it was of help.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.